Right, good morning, everyone. I think we'll be sending the kids out for Sunday school. So if you're of the Sunday school age, and off you go.
Bye-bye.
So I'm allowed to do that, it's my grandson. Okay, if you will turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 1, which is between Nahum and Zephaniah, which is five books back from the New Testament. And we're going to pick up a study again from the last study we did in Habakkuk, which was quite a while ago, I think about a year ago. So some of you will remember, some of you won't remember. Some of us can't even remember what we had for breakfast, you know. So, but don't worry, we'll have a little recap. We'll just set the scene a little bit, and then we'll get straight back into it. But before we do that, let's just pray and ask that God will help us this morning to understand His Word. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise You for who You are. We thank You, Lord, that You are the God of our salvation. We thank You, Lord, that we can fully put our trust in You and in all circumstances through everything that we go through. And Lord, we just ask that You'd be with us this morning, each one of us, Lord, as we try to glean what You're trying to say to us through Your Word. We pray, Lord, that You would speak to us through Your Spirit, and that we would have the ears to hear and the heart and the mind to obey. So, Lord, we ask that You just bless this time to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, quick question before we start. Do you ever get frustrated when you see injustice? Like criminals getting away with murder sometimes, getting away with all kinds of things. And they don't seem to, sometimes they don't even seem to suffer for the consequences of their crimes. What about like those corrupt leaders who oppress the people, the very people they're supposed to be looking after? They would oppress them and take away the little that they actually have, rather than using the big fees and the big money that they do have to feed them. They want to take more. What about if you're that age, that mean kid at school that always seems to get away with it? Nobody seems to challenge that person, or he's never confronted. So in the last study, when we looked at Habakkuk, we looked at verses 1-4, and he was saying, "How long, O Lord?" And what we were looking at was why Habakkuk went to the Lord in such a way, why he had the boldness to go before God in prayer, and he poured out his heart to the Lord with the things that were troubling him. And those are the things that we learned from his question: how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, are the people going to be oppressed? How long, O Lord, are the weak going to be downtrodden? How long, O Lord, are this my people that are supposed to love You, how long are they going to be in idolatry and just doing evil things? How long, O Lord, was his heart's cry? And what we learned from his experience was that God wants us to pour out our hearts to Him in all circumstances. We also saw that we could come before a God, our God, in boldness. Not in an irreverent way, but in a way that, because He is our God and He saved us, He loves us, He cares for us, and if we are His children, then we can go to Him in any circumstances and pour out our hearts. We can be bold going before the throne of God. And lastly, we learned that we can and expect, when we are pouring out our hearts to our Lord, that we can expect a response, but we need to be patient whilst we're waiting for that response. So today we're going to look at some further complaints that Habakkuk brought before God as he cried out to God in prayer. And it seems to be that he's saying, why, O God, why, Lord, does evil go unpunished? And we saw that in verses 5 to 11. But picking it up here in chapter 1, verse 12 to 17, we read this. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? So this passage of scripture is a response to God's prophecy that we saw when Ruth was reading in verses 5 to 11, that people that were more wicked than the ones that were in Israel at the time are going to come forth and bring God's judgment to Israel. Now, God's going to use people from outside of Israel to come into Israel to rebuke, to judge the people that rebelled against him. So Israel are supposed to be God's holy nation. They are supposed to be God's people. They are supposed to love him. And yet, they don't obey him. And yet, they do evil. And God's going to use another nation to judge them. So, obviously, Habakkuk is going to be upset by this. You know, he's going to be upset that not only did his people reject God's commands, but ultimately, because of that rejection, there's now going to be judgment on his people. If only they had listened to him, if only they had done what God wanted them to do, then none of this judgment would have to take place. But that's where we are at the moment. So in these verses, 12 to 17, Habakkuk points out the apparent, I say apparent because they're not, but apparent inconsistencies with God's nature and him actually allowing all these wicked people to prosper. All the wickedness that's going on in Israel at the time seems to be going unchecked, you know, and people are being able to prosper from their wicked and evil deeds. But God is from everlasting, holy, just, and pure, while those who are treacherous, oppressive, and idolatrous. Habakkuk wonders why God can tolerate and actually not just tolerate what's going on in his time, but also how can he allow people that are treacherous, oppressive, and idolatrous to actually prosper? So three things we're going to be looking at today. One is why evil appears to prosper. Second thing we're going to look at is actually that God will judge. God will bring about his judgment. And thirdly, we're hoping to learn a little bit about how our attitude should be towards evil, how we should respond when we have evil carrying on all around us. So let's have a look at the first thing. It seems sometimes evil appears to prosper. If you look with me in Habakkuk 1 verse 3, says, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. It seems as if God is blind. Habakkuk is a godly man. So like God, he longs to be pure. He longs to be holy and just. And us, as such, he hates the injustice. He hates all the wrongdoing, all the destruction, all the violence, and all the strife that's going on around him. He hates that, and he sees it going unpunished, and it seems unnoticed. Habakkuk is bewildered. Was God blind? Did God not see all that was happening? Now, we know what we know about our attributes of God is that he is omnipresent and he is omniscient, which means he's everywhere all the time and he knows everything. There's nothing that goes beyond God's reach that he can't see. So we're going to answer that in a bit later on when we look a little bit further. But Habakkuk at this point is bewildered. He's thinking, God, what's going on? Can you not see that my people are being oppressed? The weak ones are being oppressed. The ones that should be looking after them are just doing evil things to gain more. And they're living according to their own ways and not yours. Can you not see this? And this is one of the cries of Habakkuk. It's saying, look, it looks like you're blind. But Habakkuk knows that God is not blind, just like we know that God is not blind. God sees everything. And if we look at Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, says, Habakkuk may as well be saying, God, it seems as if you do not care. Says this in Habakkuk 1, 13. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Then he goes on and he says, why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those who are more righteous than themselves? Of course, Habakkuk knew that God sees all and hears all and sees everything that men do. So his next question was, do you care, God, that all this is going on? Now, Habakkuk knew of God's righteousness, and purity. And he wanted to know why God kept silent while all these things were going on. Do you ever feel like God doesn't see, or that he just doesn't care about injustice and the sin that's going on in the world? Do you ever feel that in your own lives, in our own personal lives, when things go against us? Is God not seeing it? Is God not caring about it? I believe if we pour out our hearts to God, we will get our answer. We know that God cares. We know that he sees all. We know that he knows all. But we must also have faith that he sees, that he knows, and that he cares. And that faith comes from just believing in him, believing in his word, remembering those promises within his word, that God will not leave us nor forsake us. So when it comes to our own personal walk with our Lord Jesus, we need to remember that actually, whatever we go through, God knows about it. He knows about it. And all we need to do at this point is just to raise our voices to him and say, Lord, please help me. I don't understand why at this point, but you know why. You have the big picture. I don't have it at the moment. So we've seen Habakkuk questioning, is God blind? He questions, does God even care? And also he's thinking, he might be thinking this, seems useless to be righteous. Seems useless to be righteous. Look at Psalm 73, verse 13. It says, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. Now, while this doesn't come directly from Habakkuk, it seems like something that he might have thought to himself at the time. All around him, wicked were being oppressed, and the weak and the righteous were being oppressed, and the evil people that were doing the oppressing and the horrible things to gain more were prospering. You know, it says, and he says, listen, surely in vain I've kept my heart pure. I've washed my hands in innocent. Why not just give up trying to follow God and start living a life of sin, like all those others who seem to prosper and who are doing really, really well? Would be easier, wouldn't it? However, Habakkuk knew and heard God say that the wicked would not go unpunished. And that's something that we need to remember, that even when we are being oppressed, even when we are having discussions with people and they're saying, well, are you Christians, you're idiots because you believe X, Y, and Z, and we believe that, you know, evolution is the way we got here, and we ain't got no time for your God. And furthermore, we're going to try and shut you up as well, bruv. You know, when we're being oppressed in that kind of way, it would be easy to say, do you know what? I'll tell you what, we'll just follow on. We'll just add your evolution to our Bible, and we'll go along with that. Abortion, yeah, that's fine. You know, nowadays it's fine. Yeah, we'll just go along with that. It's wrong to go about with that. And Habakkuk knew, and he heard God say that the wicked would not go unpunished, and that his divine retribution would be swift and would be sure. And this would be against the people of in Habakkuk's time, against the people of Israel who were doing evil, but also against the people that would come to oppress them. So in this, we can be sure that God is always good, always just, and always true to his word. Though we may not understand at the time of the difficulties that we're going through, if we would only surrender ourselves to his good judgment and trust him in his time, that he ultimately has the victory in all things. That's one thing that we need to remember, that God has the victory in all things. And God, if we think about Romans 8:28, works for the good of all those who love him. And how do we show that we love him? By obeying him. So rather than being tempted to take the easy route to prosperity, to take the easy route to get established, how about we just understand that it's all in God's timing. God knows. God cares. He cares about every single person, every single hair on your head. If you are a child of God, he does. You know, not a bird of the air hits the ground without the Lord knowing about it. You know, so he cares, and we just need to be obedient whilst we wait for his judgment, for his timing, for his salvation, his deliverance. We just need to be trusting in him. So that brings us on to the second thing that we want to discuss this morning, and that is knowing that God will bring about justice and will bring about judgment. We see, we saw earlier that Habakkuk was questioning, is God blind? Can he not see what's going on? But we know that God sees everything. If you look at Hebrews 4:13, it says this, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So Habakkuk actually knew this. David, who wrote many of the Psalms, knew this. The writer of Hebrews knew this. And we can all be sure of this too, that God sees everything. He sees everything that goes on openly and plainly and certain with certainty. Even God sees into the deepest, darkest, innermost of people's hearts, of those who appear to be righteous and holy and pure. This is all seen by God because he dwells in an inapproachable light that shines into all the dark places, all the dark places of our hearts and all the dark places of the world. There is nothing that is not seen by our Lord. And God knew that exactly what the rebellious Israelites were doing. He knew the wickedness that were in their hearts. And he knew that he was going to be sending judgment on those people. But he also knew the purity of Habakkuk's heart when he cried out for justice. You see, we might think that God doesn't see what we're going through. We might think that God doesn't care that we are suffering. We might think that God doesn't care that it seems to be that the more evil you are, the more you seem to prosper. However, we need to have a pure heart, just like Habakkuk did, and just to know and trust in the Lord, because he knows about all these things. He sees all these things. And one of the reasons why he may not act straight away is because God is patient. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So sometimes it seems as if God doesn't care, or he doesn't see, and or is even powerless against all the darkness that fills our world. But the truth is, God is patient. Yes, he will ultimately bring judgment to all those who do not walk according to his word, who do not walk according to his way. However, he sincerely wants people to repent of their wickedness, no matter how great it might be, and to turn from their darkness to his light. Here's a question: how patient has God been with us? You know, before I came to know the Lord, I wasn't squeaky clean. You might think I was, but I wasn't. Okay, I wasn't squeaky clean. And praise be to God that he chose to save me. Okay? Because in the time when I was saying to people, that Christianity stuff, that's all right for you. Yeah, you go and enjoy that, bruv. But as for me, I'm all right. When I was in that kind of place, God's judgment, even though I didn't realize it, was on me. It was on me. And ultimately, if God hadn't chosen me, I would have had to pay the penalty for every sin, every evil thought, every evil deed that even ran through my mind. I would end up having to pay for myself on the day of judgment, when Christ comes to judge everybody according to what they have done. Fortunately for me, I heard the gospel. I heard it for quite a long time before I was able to say, actually, do you know what? I believe this. I believe this before God opened my eyes to see his truth. So even though sometimes we think, oh, do you know what? God can't see what's going on, or God don't really care what's going on right now, what's happening in my life. We need to understand that God is being patient. I'm glad God was patient with me, because I would be going to hell. And we don't see the big picture sometimes. Sometimes it might be that we are being ridiculed, or that we're being picked on, or that we're being passed over. But however, we don't see what God is doing in those moments, through those interactions, through what is happening in other people's lives as well as our own. And he may be using circumstances to draw more people into his kingdom. He used circumstances to draw me into his kingdom, so why wouldn't he be doing that with somebody else? So God is patient, and we need to be patient too. It says in Romans 5:8, yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Who knows in Habakkuk's day that there would be some that would listen to Habakkuk speak, or listen to prophecy, or just hear the word of God and then have a heart of repentance and actually turn from their evil ways. I'm not saying all would, but perhaps some. Perhaps that's why God didn't do something straight away. And that's how sometimes we need to think. What is God doing during this process? Not only is he making us more holy or more like his son, you know, knowing that we do need to suffer, we'll go through suffering. His son went through suffering, so why shouldn't we? But also, what is he doing? What other work is he doing? Is he drawing somebody else into his kingdom through what is going on? But have a look at Habakkuk 2, verse 3, and we'll see that God is just. It says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So God's word is never failing. His faithfulness to what he says, and what he says he will do, and what he has spoken is true. We can trust and believe and hold on to all the promise spoken to us in his word, and we know that God is just, and we should not doubt that. God promises that we will all be repaid according to our works, as Habakkuk well knew that. This gives us reason though, doesn't it? Gives us reason to have hope, gives us reason to rejoice, because in the midst of any persecution or any difficulties that we're going through, we can be sure that God will ultimately win over evil. He has already won over evil. That happened at the cross. And though sometimes it may seem that God will never act, but he says here to Habakkuk, we must wait for his judgments, look for them, and be ready. So God is just. So what we've seen so far is that we looked at why Habakkuk was pouring out his heart to God, saying, like, it just seems that evil goes unpunished. And we saw so far that God is going to bring judgment. But in the meantime, what do we do whilst we're waiting? What should our attitude towards evil be? Well, firstly, we should resist evil. It says in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, see, he is puffed up, his desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by faith. So what do we do in the meantime? While the darkness seems to be spreading everywhere we look, first, we decide that we're not going to join the wicked. We're not going to do that thing that they do to make us ourselves have an easy path. We're not going to stand on people's back to get a leg up to where we want to be. But we're going to resist these things. Have you ever heard of the saying, if you can't beat them, join them? That's exactly what we shouldn't be doing, okay? You know, when we look at what's going on in our world, we shouldn't be endorsing the things that are wrong. I'm really thankful that we have people like the Christian Institute who are always true to God's word or holding up to God's word, that they will see things, injustices, that things that happen that affect all Christians, and they'll fight against it. In a pure and righteous way, but they'll fight against it. But what I do like about them too is that they also send out a leaflet, and I think it's, is it every month we get it? More or less every month you get something, and you have a prayer week whereby they will say, right, we're going to be praying against this, 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 and we're going to be praying that this will happen, you know. Those are the people that we want to be standing shoulder to shoulder with. We don't want to be standing shoulder to shoulder with those people that are going to be saying, look, it's okay, you know, I know a way which you can sort of like turn your electric meter back the other way so you can gain a little bit. Don't worry about that, you know. We don't want to be standing with people who saying, do you know what, it's okay to be homosexual, and, you know, God's not going to judge. God is going to judge that, but it's where God judges it, that's the key thing. So our attitude towards evil should be that we're not going to join in with the evildoers. We're not going to take on those lies and those policies and those things where people say it's okay to do this if it goes against God's word. We just will resist. Secondly, we're going to reserve vengeance for God. Romans 12:19 says this, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. So we're not going to take the work of God into our own hands. Now, I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life when I was like, a certain thing happened in my life, which was not nice to go through, and I got really bitter and I was all about revenge, and I'm just so thankful that God stayed my hand at that point, because probably I would be locked up right now, and this is true, but I would probably be locked up right now, but God stayed my hand and I didn't take revenge. Thank the Lord for his timing that saved me before I could do much worse than I'd already done. Because I probably wouldn't be here now speaking to you. But we need to not take the work of God into our own hands. God says we're not to take revenge. We're not to pay evil for evil. Instead, we need to save that vengeance and that divine retribution for God. So let's not rob God of his own justice. As Paul wrote, leave room for God's wrath. Leave room for God to act in his perfect way, according to his perfect will, in his perfect time. Because we don't know what God might do. And lastly, our attitude should be this, that we should raise our voice. Habakkuk 1:13 says this, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? So lastly, we can, like Habakkuk, come before God in fervent prayer. We saw this last time, but we're going to revert back to that again. We can intercede for those who are being persecuted. So we can pray for those brothers and sisters over here, nearby, in our churches, in our communities, and worldwide. We can be praying for them, those who are being oppressed and persecuted, for the sake of righteousness. We can be keeping those people in prayer. We should be praying that God would act swiftly on their behalf. However, we know that not always in our little minds, we may say, God, we want you to act swiftly, but that may take years. But to God, that's swift. Because how long is eternity? It's foreverlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. That's how long eternity is. So we don't need to be thinking, Lord, do you know what? You're just not doing anything, because we don't know what God is doing. Because he is from everlasting to everlasting. He sees all. He's everywhere at all times. So nothing goes amiss. But we can keep praying for our brothers and sisters. And we're so blessed, because we've got a mediator, haven't we? We have a mediator in Jesus Christ, allowing us to come before God in boldness, to present our petitions to him, to ask of our requests, to send intercessory prayers to him. So let us then pray. If we're going through hard time, personally, pray. If our friends are going through difficult times, pray. If the church is going through a difficult time, pray. If our brothers and sisters across the world are going through a difficult time, pray. We have the Lord Jesus Christ interceding for us. Let's pray. Let us speak up for those in need and against darkness that threaten them. So in closing, I'd just like to read this. But as for me, this is Psalm 73, verse 3 to 20. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on a slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream, when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. So the psalmist who wrote this particular psalm came before God in the very same manner that Habakkuk did, wondering why the wicked appeared to prosper despite all the horrible things that they were doing. He almost gave in to the thought that all of his purity, all of his righteousness were in vain and useless. But however, this is what he did. He meditated in God's presence. He remembered all that he knew about God, that he was just and righteous and he would deliver. That's something that we need to do as Christians. Remember God's faithfulness. Remember God's word and those promises within his word, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that all things work for the good of those who love him. you know, that he who began a good work will continue that work. Remember all those promises. And when we face our persecutions, when we face our difficult times, even just on a personal level, let's take those to him, he who saved us. What a thing to be able to do, isn't it? To be able to go to the living God and say, look, this is what's happening in my life right now, Lord. I need you to help me. I need you to take this away. But if not, give me the grace to go through it. Teach me, Lord, what you want me to learn as I go through this trial. That's an awesome thing that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, I would say, make it your priority to talk to somebody, to ask about Jesus. Because without him, you know, everything is in vain. And the evil may as well prosper, because it's all going to get burnt up without him. But in him we have a saviour. You know, we have somebody that we can turn to, put our trust in, one for our salvation, but also to help us through a very difficult life that we have to walk, you know, where we have to follow after him. So, if you don't know him today, rather than waiting for judgment, because it will come, God's word is true, and when he says he will judge everyone according to what they have done, he means it, and it will happen. And we might not think, oh, well, it's not going to happen today. Who knows? Do you know when your last breath is going to be? And then you'll be face to face with the living God. For me, I was blessed. Before I could go too dark, too deep into violence and all that kind of stuff, God chose to save me. And all the things that I ever did wrong then were judged on the cross, rather than being reserved to be judged on me. And all the things that, you know, none of us are perfect, we still slip up, those things are still judged on the cross, not on me. I'm glad that Christ saved me. I'm glad that his judgment was, that God's judgment was placed on Christ on my behalf rather than on me, because that would be eternal death, eternal separation from God. So today, if you're hearing the Lord's voice, if he's speaking to you today, don't ignore it. Today is the day of salvation. Rather than allowing everything that you've ever done wrong, every evil thought, every evil deed to be judged on you when your time is up, why not let that be judged on Jesus Christ, who died for all our sins? All we have to do is have faith in him, have faith in his cross, believe that he is the Son of the living God, who came and lived that perfect life we couldn't live, who died that death that we deserved, but was raised to glory, giving us hope of a glorious, eternal place with our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you, Lord, that no matter what it looks like to us, evil will never prosper, because, Lord, you have the victory. We thank you, Lord, that even though when we look around us, when we look around the world, Lord, and we see all the destruction and desolation and all the evil doing and the fact that those that are doing evil deeds seem to be prospering, we thank you, Lord, that we know who you are. We know that you are faithful. We know that you are just. You are pure and you are holy. And nothing goes without you seeing it, without you knowing about it. Lord, you see into the very depths of man's heart. So, Lord, we ask that whilst we don't understand, you would give us the grace to remain patient, that you would help us, Lord, to remain obedient to your word, that we would reserve judgment for you, that we wouldn't take your work into our own hands, Lord, but, Lord, would just wait for you to do what you're going to do, Lord. We thank you that even though sometimes it looks really bleak, Lord, that you are working, because the darkness cannot hide from you. Lord, you can shine into any kind of darkness. Lord, you shone into my heart, and I thank and praise you for that, Lord. Lord, we just pray that whilst we wait, we will be obedient, that we would fully put our trust in you. So, Lord, we just thank you that we have you. We thank you that you gave us Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence with us via the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.